Hello, everybody, and welcome to another conversation about software engineering. This is Joy Clark, and today on the CASE podcast, we're going to talk about Scala. I would like to welcome Sophia Cole to the show. Sophia is a Scala developer at ITV. Welcome to the show, Sophia.
Hi, thank you for having me.
So just to get started out, my first question would be like what your journey was. You're a Scala developer, so how did you come about to start developing Scala?
Yeah, so I didn't really know anything about computer science or programming or anything until I started a maths degree in university, and I really wasn't enjoying it. It was very intense, and someone suggested that I do computer science as a sort of maths light, which was a stroke of fate, I think, because I loved it. I really enjoyed it. And that was the first experience. And we didn't do Scala on that course. We did Java and Python. And then I got my first job in London on a graduate scheme and at Net-a-Porter. And the graduate scheme's really great because you get to try lots of different languages and different parts of technology. And I came across Scala on one of my teams. The team was learning Scala together, so that gave me a really good introduction. And yeah, I really enjoyed it. And that's how I stumbled across Scala.
Cool. So is it your favorite language?
Yes. And it's pretty much the only one that I've really done in depth commercially. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Which gives me a bit of a different viewpoint, I think, than some other people.
For sure. So can you describe the language? What is Scala? What makes it what it is?
Yeah, it's... It runs on the JVM, so the Java virtual machine, and it's from one of the original Java compiler developers, so Martin Odersky. Mm-hmm. He created it to be, I think, from what I've read on the internet, a better Java, but I don't want to misquote anyone. And yeah, that's basically what it can look like. It looks like a better version of Java in terms of it runs on the same ecosystem, but... is more concise and has lots of different features. It's got a really great community around it as well, I think, because it's not one of the bigger languages out there. I think the community comes together, and I love the community. It's one of my favorite parts.
Yeah, that's always an important part of any language, I think.
I've got so much support from people. So.
Yeah. Can you tell me, like, what kind of languages it is? Is it object-oriented or imperative or functional?
So it's kind of like it's a hybrid, I guess, what you could say. You can it implements different concepts. So it has some OO concepts. It also has some functional concepts. And I guess it depends on how far you want to go with it. I've always, I started off writing it like Java. Mm-hmm. And that was kind of the angle that we went in to learn, and then slowly introduced more of the functional concepts into our code as I went along. I've also moved teams in that time, and the new team that I'm in is much more functional. But there are some developers who are happier sticking towards more of the object-orientated side of it. Other things about Scala is that it's general purpose, so you can do loads of different things with it. And the type system is one of its main benefits, I think. It's a very strong static type system.
Does it have any other benefits compared with other languages?
I think the type system definitely is really powerful. And I think something that Scala developers really love about the language is that once you've got the code compiling, you're very likely to be there already. Like mm-hmm. You can really rely on the compiler to do a lot of the work for you. I think the compatibility with Java is something that people really enjoy because you can make use of loads of Java libraries. There's also a way where you can start switching over your Java code if that's something angle you want to take in bringing Scala into your team. People like it because it's concise. People like it because you can choose how functional you want to be with it. I think those are the benefits, the flexibility. Some people say maybe it's a con that it can be written in so many different ways. But I like it. I think it keeps you thinking, gives you a bit of a challenge. Yeah.
Do you mix the, like, you can do both object-oriented and functional programming. Do you personally mix, like, both of them in a project, depending on what you want to do, or do you stick to one or the other?
I think it depends. I've seen people do as much functional as they can and then kind of break some of the functional rules. So it would be more of the object-orientated ideas. Mm-hmm. So you can be immutable in most of your code base, but then there are parts that aren't. And that's okay with Scala, I think. Well, it depends, I guess, on your personal preference, but you can definitely do it.
Okay. Can you tell me just briefly what it looks like syntax-wise?
It looks quite similar to Java, the curly brace syntax. You can do a lot with it. So it's quite liberal with naming and what else? What does it look like? It's an interesting question.
Yeah.
The ecosystem is very similar to Java. Yeah. So
especially on a podcast, asking you that
exactly.
Kind of mean.
Show you a screen with it on. But yeah, again, as I said, it can vary in style quite a lot. I think if you're going to look at some code that's written very functionally, you could get intimidated by it. I get intimidated by it. Mm-hmm. You can write something very concise but not very readable. Mm-hmm. And I think there's definitely an in-between that people try and land on, so not too crazy. You want people to be able to read what you've written. Mm-hmm.
How easy is it to read code that other people write?
I think it depends on their style. We've really pushed in our team to keep readability at priority. So you can do something in one line, doesn't mean you should do something in one line. Mm-hmm. It depends. I think it's a really important thing for your team to decide on.
Yeah. So like all other languages, you just have to work hard to make code look nice.
I think Scala maybe, as opposed to Java, is a bit harder to do that because there is so much flexibility. But if you prioritize it, it's not a problem. I think Scala can be really nice to read most of the time, especially if you compare it to more languages like Python or even JavaScript. I think it's easier to read.
Do you know what kind of applications are mainly written in Scala, or is it just all different kinds?
I think actually the word Scala comes from scalable, and on the user side. So you can use it for, I've used it for scripts, I've seen it used for big monoliths, although that's not something that I've worked on. Everything. I know that a lot of people use it for big data, so Spark you can use with Scala. There's loads of Coursera courses that concentrate on big data. I know that functional programming as a concept is good for concurrency because you get the immutability. Scala has futures and actors that help towards the concurrency, the concurrent programming. Mm-hmm. I know that people have used it for Android applications and AWS Lambda. And yeah, it can be really used for so many different things.
Okay. Yeah. Can you do like embedded stuff on it? Like with it?
Sorry, what do you mean?
I mean like on I guess Android would be kind of embedded.
I've concentrated more on back-end systems, microservices.
Yeah, yeah. Me too. But I always think it's interesting, like as far as what a language is good for, there's the like big data aspect, and then there's people who want to write like programs that run on a microprocessor Raspberry Pi and still are really like really great performance, and but I don't know, you probably can, the question is
I don't know. Yeah, I guess good, because recently I was writing some AWS Lambda, and I know people do it. Someone who used to work at ITV has actually made a toolkit, an SBT AWS Lambda toolkit, which is really interesting. Mm-hmm. But recently I had the task to do that, and I actually opted to use Node, which isn't something I write at all, but it just felt lighter. I think Scala, there's a certain durability to it, I don't know where I feel that from, but something like Node feels lighter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Can you like maybe describe the kind of tooling that's available to develop Scala?
Yeah, so I guess the main tool everyone uses with Scala is SBT, which is the build tool. It's very easy to use, so that is great. Yeah, I use IntelliJ, the IDE, to write Scala, and that has plugins available, and that works really well. I know I've heard great things about Enzyme, which you can use with lots of text editors. That's got great Scala support as well. So there's lots out there. I don't really know what more.
Are there any like what libraries or frameworks are often used in Scala, or that do you use?
Yeah, so when I first started Scala, I think there's a framework called Play, and I found that really good to get started with Scala. It's the documentation's great, but it is a bit heavy when you know what you're doing, when you know exactly what you need from something. But perfect for beginners. That's what got me going. There's a essential playbook that is excellent, and that really gets you up and running with Scala very quickly. I'd say moving on from that, I use HTTP4S, which is another framework for HTTP, that kind of stuff. That works really well, very lightweight, and gets you what you need. If you're going to move more towards the functional side of programming with Scala, I recommend using one of the helper libraries. So you've got Scala Z or Cats. Those both give you a lot of the functional elements to coding that help you along. You can do it without it, but I find them quite useful. I guess if people are up for a challenge, something that's kind of hot topic at the moment is Shapeless. There's a book going around that everyone is obsessed with called The Astronaut's Guide to Scala by Dave Gannell with Underscore. Everyone's raving about that. So if anyone uses Scala and wants a bit of a challenge, I highly recommend that.
Do people in the Scala community often use test-driven development, or are there other ways? What kind of testing is done?
Our team very much big on TDD and pairing, and I think those two work really well together. I find TDD to be far more popular now than it was maybe a year or two ago, but I feel like that's the main way people develop code nowadays. So especially I think Racing to Green is a great TDD/pairing way to do things. So writing a failing test, maybe one of you can write the failing test and the other one can get it to pass. And I think that's nice small stints of coding that help time go really quickly. There's also Gatling, which has a Scala DSL, which is great for load testing. And I think that's a nice way to squeeze some Scala code into your code base if it's something you want to try. So that's always a good one.
What's Java interop like? I mean, can you go, you said you could use Java libraries in Scala. Can you go the other way as well?
I'm not sure. I haven't tried okay. That one. But there's so many Java libraries out there that I don't think I've ever needed to go the other way.
So you just leave Java and like, I'm never going to go back to Java.
Basically.
Unless someone forces me.
I do use still Java libraries quite often, just because, as I said, there's so many of them. You haven't got Scala alternatives for everything, but I would always choose a Scala alternative if I could.
Like what kinds of Java libraries?
What's one that I've tried recently? I think is it AWS? Do they have theirs is Java? I think. Okay. RabbitMQ has a Java one, but I think ITV has open sourced their Scala layer on top. So actually you can do that with Scala now. Those are the ones I can think of off the top of my head, but we're slowly getting a lot of Scala ones instead.
It's probably like a bit of, I mean, because the type system in Scala is so much stronger than in Java.
Yeah.
I can imagine like using Java libraries might not be as nice.
It's usable. It's okay. I think you can get it back into the Scala world very quickly from using the library. So have a layer that uses the library and then bring it back up to Scala as soon as possible. Mm-hmm. That's our way of doing it. But it's okay. I don't have any problems with using Java libraries usually.
Okay. Well, I just realized we talked a lot about it being like strongly typed, but didn't really talk about what that means. Could you briefly explain what it means to be a strongly typed language?
So everything has a type, so you wouldn't necessarily, you wouldn't necessarily pass around strings in your code, for example. You would give it a type, or you would create what's a case class that holds data and pass that around, and that is a type in itself. I think I'm not very good at the academics of these kinds of things. I just used it and that's about it. And I love that it works, but I don't really know the bits behind it. But I just know that type systems mean that when I compile my code, I'm fairly happy that it's going to work because everything fits together. And when you develop something, a function, so on, you can basically write it through types. You know what you're getting in, and you know what's coming out, and then you can get the function to do what you want based on the types, which is really something that can drive your development quite easily. I hope I explained that. As I said, I'm not great at the academics behind these things. I just use it and love it and appreciate it, but I should really learn more of the behind the scenes.
Do you understand what a monad is?
Does anyone understand what a monad is?
I'm not sure. That's why I was asking.
Running joke a few years ago of what is a monad, and it was burritos and all sorts scattered around. And I know how to use one. It's
So how do you use a monad?
I'm getting tested now. So it's something that you can map over or flat map over, if anyone's aware of what those mean. It's getting inside of something. So the visualization of a burrito is a monad wrapping something up. And it means that you can work on the inside of something. Okay. Using Scala methods. I hope I did that okay.
No, it's okay. I'm sorry, it's a really difficult question. So I do functional programming as well, but I also can't describe what a monad is usually. And so,
do you know what a monad is?
Okay, now you're turning the question back to me.
I have said to other people, like, don't worry too much about the terminologies and the jargons, and you get things like algebraic data types and monads and all of these different words. And my advice to anyone who's like me, who struggles with those kinds of things, is to just use it. And then when one day somebody explains it to you, you're like, oh yeah, of course I know what that is, rather than trying to focus on definitions and things like that. I find those quite hard.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. I find it a bit, like, for like, oh, like, especially the Haskell, it's like, oh, but we need monads.
Yeah.
Like, really?
It's a tricky one, because I know those kinds of things can make code really cool and work really, really well. And it's really impressive, actually, to be able to use and explain, especially.
I think that maybe monad's the easiest, right? Maybe monad either has something or doesn't have something.
We have either.
Either. Okay.
Either something or something else. Okay. Yeah.
That's a good monad.
Yeah.
So you can apply a function to the maybe, and if it has it, then it applies it to the thing inside. And if not, it just doesn't.
Yeah. So the easiest probably one is futures.
Oh, are futures monads?
Are they? Oh, don't tell me they're not.
I have no idea. They probably are. I just never really thought about it.
Yeah, they're bound to be, I think. Oh, goodness. Anyway, yes, I know either is definitely.
Okay, good.
But yeah, you can work on the inside of an either without having to really worry about it.
Again, I apologize for the difficult question. I was hoping you would, like, you know, I was thinking we can help each other figure out how to explain a monad, you know?
Yes, and I know it's really helpful to other people to, I try to not worry about sounding silly or, because I know it must be really useful to other people who feel like me, that not everyone knows the answers to things, but they're still okay. I'm still producing good code. I still have a job.
No, I actually think that's great advice. Just getting started with functional programming. So you mentioned, are you an active member of the Scala community?
I try to be. I try to be. I try to get involved as much as possible. I love going to the conferences, not just for hearing the talks, but to be involved in the community, talk to loads of people, hearing what everyone's up to, that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. I enjoy. I try to blog, but I'm not great at keeping up with it. But yeah, I try my best. I think it's hard when you've got a full-time job and then you've got other things going on. The Scala community, whenever I go to a conference or I go to these kind of things, it really inspires me to do more in my spare time. But you know, life takes over. Yeah,
you mean you actually want to have a life and program at the same time?
Crazy.
Yeah, well, I know you did do a couple of talks at conferences, so we'll link those in the show notes. And
yeah, I'm on the side, like, Googling whether future is a Scala. Is it Scala?
Is future a monad? Question of the week.
It's not clear, so there you go.
Okay.
Maybe it is, maybe it isn't. I don't think it
is. Maybe we need to write a future monad.
Blog post, there you go. Sorry, did I miss your question?
No. Is there anything like in your, I don't know where you're based, but in your city, like local community?
So yeah, it's London. So we have plenty. the London Scala user group. We have Scala Central. They're the two main ones that pop out as meetups. And then we have the Scala Exchange Conference, which is in December. That's a pretty big one, which is always fun to go to.
When you started, you said you started working at a company that was introducing Scala. Was it, were they just getting started with Scala in the company, or I don't know, or was it like they just decided to add people to the team? Were they just adopting Scala in the organization, or was it already like pretty widespread?
There were one or two teams already using Scala, but there wasn't much expertise in the company, and that team was quite small, and they had a lot to get on with. And we were based in a different building as well. So when they introduced Scala to our team, everyone in the team was new at it, completely new at it, completely hadn't used it at all. But that team did spend some time with us. I think the main thing that helped us was bringing some, outsourcing some of our training and having someone with us all the time. That really worked very well. And we were all very new to it. It was a really interesting time to join that team.
Yeah. So did you ever have to try to sell it to a manager or to a company? Move away from Java, try Scala?
Fortunately not. I think the decision had been made before we got there, I think by that other team. But many people, I've done talks around Scala at conferences, and it's the biggest thing that people come up to me afterwards and say, how do I get management to buy in? How do I get people to let me use this and try this? And it's a hard sell, but I think it's worth it. But that's mm-hmm. my own opinion. I don't know if management think that, or, you know, mm-hmm. I don't know. But
did you face any resistance, like with from other teams who weren't using it? I don't know how that would be.
No, we did. We so our team was one of about three or four in a certain domain, mm-hmm. and our team, you know, dived straight in, started making Scala microservices, etc. And we tried, management tried to get the other teams on board. Mm-hmm. The developers that were not naturally, but originally from Perl backgrounds, and there was a lot of resistance. And I think the main thing that they did was just to try and inspire and excite people with Scala. So our team was used as kind of a look what they're doing kind of thing. We were very much working on greenfield projects, getting up and running really quickly. We were all very enthusiastic, and I think it did seep out into the other teams. And Scala, I think, for people who aren't in it yet, can be quite daunting because it has a reputation of being hard to learn, and it's not as mainstream as Java, and there's not a huge amount of jobs out there.
Mm-hmm.
And there's this question of, is it going to last? Because it is growing, but is it going to last? There's been other languages that have grown this far, but maybe not lasted the distance. But I think so far we're proving everyone, well, I don't know if we're proving them wrong, but we're proving that Scala's sticking around for at least now. And another thing I think I didn't say about Scala is that there's always more challenges to look at. And I think you never really rest on your laurels as such. I think other developers I've met who have been coding for 20 years feel like they know their language that they're using inside out. And although I'm quite young in the language and stuff, I feel like the reaction from people in the community, there's always something else to look at. There's always another challenge around the corner. There's always something mm-hmm. you look at to keep you motivated. And yeah, I really like that part of Scala as well.
Is the language also being like getting new features? I don't know what the development cycle of the language itself is like.
It feels like there's always things changing in the community. I think more so on the libraries that are being created. And but although there's just been so Scala 2.12 was a big release, and that's brought about some great changes. But I would say mostly concentrating on, there's a really active community that's always writing new libraries, always something interesting around the corner, always some big announcement at a conference, and that's exciting.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Are there any techniques a company can use in order to train their employees?
So yeah, I've had some experience with this, as I said, bringing Scala into the last company I was at. I found loads of different resources through that. I think everyone talks about the Coursera courses, the mm-hmm. functional programming Scala. That's got a great following. There's also what everyone deems the Red Book, which is functional programming Scala. I can't remember the authors, but I'll let you know after this. That everyone reads that. Everyone does that. It's a very hard book to do. There's lots of exercises, but that's great. I think those two are best when you're already in Scala, when you're already comfortable with it. Mm-hmm. There's plenty for beginners. There's an organization called Underscore. They've open sourced all of their resources, mm-hmm. which is great because I learned with one of the guys from Underscore, and he walked us through all of the books. So they've got Essential Scala, Essential Play, and they're all available now. So I highly recommend those for beginners. Techniques, I would say the thing that helped us the most, as I said, was bringing someone from the outside in to help us, and having a project to work on where you had lots of space to make mistakes,
mm-hmm.
lots of space to throw away code that you think you can now do better. Nothing with too much investment in it. I know that sounds hard because you're going to be building things for a company, but we found to have a little service that did something for us that we still used. It was still really useful, but if we have to replace it or make it better, we have that space to do so without being worried about making mistakes. Mm-hmm. And another one that I always like to suggest to people is hack days, because I feel like I've learned the most through hack days. Mm-hmm. Giving your people, I guess, company, team, time to explore new technologies without too much investment. So you can decide to try something without writing it in your code base, your production code base, is really beneficial, because otherwise you just get so much tech debt and so many bad decisions. Mm-hmm. It's nice to be able to throw it away. Yeah. and blog posts. So looking at people's experiences online, loads of people have really taken on writing blog posts, and reading about people's experiences has always helped me. Mm-hmm. I've done a few on mine. I know there's loads online. So yeah, I highly recommend doing that too. Makes you feel not so much alone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Did you usually just kind of try stuff out on your own, or did you do pair programming or any other like mob programming or anything else like that?
I've tried all of those, I think. I think the default was pair programming, which was great because, again, you didn't feel by yourself. You were exploring new things with someone else. But giving yourself time to make mistakes without feeling embarrassed is also important too. Mm-hmm. I tended to do that more at home, or finding odd time throughout the day rather than it be the default, because too much of that can also be a bit demotivating, because you don't tend to, especially if you're brand new at something, you don't tend to know exactly what you're doing. So a mixture of those. I've also been in a training session, like a workshop, where we've done mob programming, and it worked well for what it worked for. I wouldn't suggest it as a regular thing, because I think people who are a little bit quieter or a little less confident don't get to benefit from that as much. Mm-hmm. But it's interesting to see how it happens and how it works, and get everyone's personalities on board. And yeah, it's definitely interesting. I wouldn't say it was a great way to learn.
So what would be like your pitch if you were to try to sell it to someone who's never used it before? Then what would you tell them?
I'd say it was an interesting challenge. So I feel like I really like math. Mm-hmm. And I really love problem solving. And I feel like Scala gave me that kind of satisfaction in ways that Java didn't. And I don't know if I can put my finger on it. I don't know whether it's the functional aspects or the cool little things that you can do with Scala, like pattern matching and for comprehensions. So I don't know how much detail to go in with those, but you can do all these neat little things that give me the same feeling that maths and problem solving do. So that's my pitch on how I find Scala to work with, on a more of a pitch to your team or pitch to your managers kind of talk. Mm-hmm. I'd say that, well, I went to a talk a few months ago now, and it was a really interesting one about how Scala can attract the best developers. Mm-hmm. And it's not mainstream, I would say, yet. Scala is getting there. It's very much getting there, but I wouldn't put it up there with Java. You're getting these developers that are interested in more of an academic style language, a language that has a reputation for maybe being a little bit hard to learn, but has interesting challenges with it. I'd also say that it's one of the challenges that comes with Scala, getting buy-in from management, because there are less developers out there, but I think you get the really good ones, although I'm very biased. Yeah, I hope that answers your question.
Yeah, it does. I haven't actually, I've been playing with the idea of trying out Scala, and I haven't had the time. But like, it sounds interesting. It's on my to-do list.
Do it.
So you just convinced me now that I had to go try it out. Well, I don't have any more questions. Is there anything else you'd like to say about Scala?
Oh, it's a big question. Give it a go. There's loads of resources online. There's I saw one today, I think I've mentioned it before, where it's interactive on the browser. So that's really fun to just go and try, see if you like it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think the community is super welcoming. And we're trying really hard to be diverse and inclusive and interesting and challenging and all the good things. So it's a good place to be. And I would say it's up and coming. Okay. I like it. It feels a little bit cool. I don't know why, but maybe I'm on my own.
I don't think you're on your own.
I do like Scala, really like Scala. So that's always a good place to be.
That sounds good. Well, thank you so much for taking the time to answer all my questions.
No problem. It was fun. I hope I answered them all. I'm going to have so many people telling me that I did things wrong, but I guess that's part of learning.
Yeah. Well, if you ever find out a great definition for a monad, let me know.
Okay, I will. I'm on the hunt.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, well, thank you so much for your time, and to all our listeners, thank you
be
for listening.
Good. Be kind to me.
Yes, be kind to us. Okay, so to all our listeners, until next time.